From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled The Altar of Witness, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Holy Foresight. The text is found in Matthew 26 and verse 64. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Ah, Lord, thou wast in thy lowest state, when before thy persecutors thou wast made to stand like a criminal. Yet the eyes of thy faith could see beyond thy present humiliation into thy future glory. What words are these? Nevertheless, hereafter, I would imitate thy holy foresight, and in the midst of poverty or sickness or slander, I also would say, nevertheless, hereafter. Instead of weakness, thou hast all power. Instead of shame, all glory. Instead of derision, all worship. Thy cross has not dimmed the splendor of thy crown, neither has the spittle marred the beauty of thy face. Say rather, thou art the more exalted and honored because of thy sufferings. So, Lord, I also would take courage from the hereafter. I would forget the present tribulation in the future triumph. Help thou me by directing me into thy Father's love and into thine own patience, so that when I am derided for thy name, I may not be staggered, but think more and more of the hereafter, and therefore all the less of today. I shall be with thee soon, and behold thy glory. Wherefore I am not ashamed, but say in my inmost soul, nevertheless, hereafter.
Yet I pray, and higher and higher.
Seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. In the previous message, Dr. Cairns focused upon Joshua's encouragement to the 2.5 tribes whose possession was on the east side of the Jordan. They had fulfilled their promise to fight alongside their brethren in the conquest of Canaan. Shortly after their departure for their own land, word came to Joshua that those tribes had built an altar. At first it appeared that they were disobeying God in constructing another place of sacrifice beside the one in Shiloh, and the tribes in Canaan prepared to go to war with them. Upon investigation, however, Joshua learned that the altar on the east bank was intended only as a memorial, not as a place of sacrifice. From this account, Dr. Cairns will bring a message entitled, "The Altar of Witness," showing that the cross of Christ is a permanent witness to the gospel privileges and the duties of God's people. Now here is Dr. Cairns.
This Bible reading records for us a very, very dangerous episode in the history of the newly settled tribes of Israel. When the word came through that the 2.5 tribes who had their possession on the east of Jordan had erected a huge altar, the rest of the people were completely stunned. The only conclusion they could come to was that the 2.5 tribes would only erect such an altar if they were effectively declaring their independence of the rest of the nation, or at least that they were establishing their own religion or their own version of the worship of Jehovah. And that was something that the children of Israel could not allow to happen. Such a flagrant departure from the revealed truth of God would, they feared, call down the judgment of the Lord upon the whole nation. And so they prepared themselves to go to war against their brethren. However, even in preparation for war, the 9.5 tribes made an effort for a peaceful resolution of the matter. They seemed to realize that there might just possibly be an innocent explanation for their brethren's strange action. And it's a very good thing that they did. For they discovered that far from departing from the Lord, the 2.5 tribes were just as determined as the majority of the nation at that time to remain faithful to Jehovah. In fact, what was driving them was not a falling away from the truth, but rather a fear that in years to come their children would be excluded from Israel's worship at the tabernacle in Shiloh. First, because of the distance that they lived. Second, because there was this physical barrier of the River Jordan that seemed to make them a separate nation. And I suppose also they recognized that over a period of time, the physical separation could very well lead to the development of some peculiar characteristics or cultural things that would set them apart and would be used as an excuse to keep them from their place among the people of God. So they built this altar, and as they kept repeating, it was not for sacrifice. It was a massive witness, a reminder to all generations to come that the tribes on the east of Jordan were one as the people of God with the 9.5 tribes on the west. Now, such news was obviously very welcome to the people who had been sent over as ambassadors for peace. Instead of division, there was a new sense of unity. The altar of Ed, as its name is, stood as a lasting witness to the united commitment of the children of Israel to the Lord and to each other. Now, from that time forward, there were two great altars in Israel. First, there was the altar at Shiloh. That was the altar of burnt offering, the brazen altar that stood within the gate of the tabernacle. That was the place of blood atonement. Then there was this other altar We read that it was an altar to see to. The Hebrew simply means it was an altar great of sight. I think it was certainly speaking of its size. It was meant to be a huge altar. It was meant to be a landmark that no one could ever overlook. But it was an altar purely for witness. There was no blood shed at this altar. There was never fire upon this altar. It was simply a witness to the power and effective application of the blood and the sacrifice at the altar in Shiloh. So there were these two altars, and together they portray for us the full work of the cross. The first altar at Shiloh tells us of the once-for-all atonement of Christ at Calvary. That is the meaning of the Old Testament typology of the altar. The many sacrifices and the unending fire at the altar in Shiloh was a God-given type of the once-for-all sacrifice for sins that Jesus Christ would make at Calvary. So the altar in Shiloh portrayed the atonement of Christ. The altar of Ed, without blood or fire or sacrifice, reminds us of the constant witness to God's people that the cross brings. It is a constant witness to the hearts of all the true Israel of God, of everything that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary. Just as the altar of Ed spoke volumes of what actually was accomplished at the altar in Shiloh, so there is that aspect of the cross work of Christ that is a constant witness to God's people of the atoning virtue and value of the blood. Now that is the significance of the great altar of Ed. And from it I want to draw a very simple but a very far-reaching doctrinal and New Testament conclusion that the cross is a permanent witness to God's people of their gospel privileges and their gospel duties. You see that as we study the chapter. It's very simple and very clear that the cross is a permanent witness to God's people of their gospel privileges and their gospel duties. Let me remark first that the cross is a witness to the faith of the gospel among God's people. As you read this 22nd chapter of the book of Joshua and consider the erection of the altar of Ed, you can't help but see that the children of the 2.5 tribes erected this altar as a statement of faith. First, as a statement of faith to the God in whom they believed. And then, as a statement of faith regarding the way of salvation that their God had provided. Now let's translate that into New Testament terms, and we can see that the cross is first of all a witness to the Lord as He has revealed Himself in His Word. In verse 22, the 2.5 tribes express their faith. The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, He knoweth. Down in verse 34, they called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. That was their testimony. Every time they would look at this altar, they would stop and they would say, this is a witness to the God in whom we believe. We do not believe in the gods of the heathen round about us. We do not worship the man-made idols and the manufactured deities of the surrounding nations. We with our brethren on the west of Jordan, we worship the Lord Jehovah, the great I Am. That was the first great testimony of the altar. My friend, that is the first great testimony of the cross of Jesus Christ. It is a testimony and a witness to the Lord, who He is and what He is, as He has revealed Himself in His Word and preeminently in the person of His own dear Son. The cross is the supreme witness to the Lord's character. He is not, and this cannot be emphasized too much, because man at the basis of his being is an idolater, and the God he worships is ultimately himself. And that's why he manufactures gods out of his own imagination and with his own hands. Ultimately, he worships never anything more than an extension of himself. Man has made himself his own great idol. But the cross is the witness that God is not a God of human invention. God is not a God produced by human imagination. God is, and He is what He has declared Himself to be. Throughout the Scriptures, He gives us a constant revelation of His own person, His own nature, His own character. But the consummation of that revelation is to be found at Calvary. There you will discover the sovereignty of God, the justice of God, the grace of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God. The attributes of God come together in a glorious revelation at Calvary. The cross is the witness to the person and the nature of our God as He has revealed Himself to me. Time forbids that I follow that through in any detail. But can I say this to you, that in all theology, it is a good idea to get quickly to the cross. In all Bible study, it is a good idea to get quickly to the cross. And in all preaching, it should be the preacher's great aim and objective to get quickly to the cross. We can study the being of God, as many people are stupid enough to do, in high-flown philosophical terms, and you'll end up knowing little or nothing of God that way. We can even come to the Scriptures and we can study the attributes of God in isolation. And while there is benefit in studying any passage of Scripture for what it says about God, yet if you would understand what the Lord wants you to understand by these great attributes He has revealed, come and see them in action at Calvary. For the cross tells you more about God than anything else in the history of this world. It's the witness to the Lord Himself. The cross is also the witness to God's way of salvation. The altar of Ed, as it stood there without blood or sacrifice, was a witness to what went on at Shiloh, at the brazen altar of sacrifice. It was a testimony that there is salvation solely by the blood of the altar. The cross of Jesus Christ witnesses God's way of salvation. And that witness can be couched in the language of either the Old Testament or the New Testament. In the words of the Old Testament, Leviticus 17:11, it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. In the words of Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood is no remission. Or Romans 3:25, God hath set forth Christ to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. This is the witness of Calvary. No man can come to the cross and have the slightest understanding of what was going on at Calvary and then think that there's salvation by works, or salvation by sacraments, or salvation by church initiation. No man can possibly think that there is salvation in any other way than the blood of Jesus Christ. If he comes to the place called Calvary and seeks to understand what is happening there, when you see the awful agony of the Son of God, when you see that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, when from the awful darkness of the cross you hear the cry of dereliction of the Son of God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It will seal forever in your heart. There is but one way of salvation, and that is salvation by the atonement and the blood shedding of Jesus Christ. There is no other way.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.